Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotel, Brother Ghani, Assalamu Alaikum. Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We back again, y'all, for another week. Hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. We are Collective Minds, where we say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So without further ado, we're going to get into the show. We got a great show. This is our second to last show of 2019. There's been a lot going on this week. But before we get started, Mufasa Ra and Queen Rigel, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
I had a wonderful week. No announcements, though, but I did have a great week.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week? And you got any announcements for us, brother?
Hey, I had a good week as well. Everything went smooth. No major announcements. Just as usual, you know, I got to give a shout-out to the Nation of Islam. This weekend here at March 28 in St. Louis, we had a brother by the name of Ilya Rashad Muhammad, who's on the Nation's research team. And he came in this weekend and gave a good presentation over UFOs and the Nation of Islam. And he also gave a presentation today called Signs of the Messiah, you know, going, you know, who Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan represent, and the importance to the Nation of Islam and the world abroad. So, yeah, I had an interesting weekend. The brother gave me a lot to look at. I actually had to buy his DVD so I could look at it again because I can't front. He said some things that had my head spinning. So I'm looking forward to breaking that down throughout the week and feeding off of that message some more. So, yeah, other than that, yeah, I had a good weekend.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I also had a good weekend. Like I say, we winding down the year. It's the second to last show of 2019. And, you know, I've been noticing some things the past week. It's kind of been brewing since the beginning of the year. And I think it's quite interesting that it seems like, how do I put this? The streets are turning on Oprah. I don't know if y'all heard, but, you know, early this year, Oprah did the documentary with the Michael Jackson accusers, which had a lot of people upset, you know, because they was calling her out, like, why ain't you talking about Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, you know, David Giff, all these guys that she's supposedly cool with, but she's not doing exposés with their victims or exposing what they did. So now, a couple weeks ago, they announced that Oprah was doing a documentary with Apple with some of the accusers of Russell Simmons. And so last week, 50 Cent put up a post basically calling Oprah out, saying that she's, you know, just using her platform to go after black men, you know, while she letting the white accusers that she's cool with, some of them, she just letting them go scot-free. And it was interesting because I was going on Oprah's Twitter page and Instagram. Whoa, man, oh, man. When I say people in the comments was going at Oprah, and these are black people, and, you know, the tides have turned because, you know, we've always had a love for Oprah. You know what I'm saying? Even though, I'm going to keep being honest, I've always had a little side eye, but I've always been afraid to publicly speak out against Oprah because I know how powerful she is and how many people love her. But as I'm watching this, people are really turning on this woman, and she's really kind of being exposed, right, for using her platform to go after black men. So I just think it's interesting. This has came
as
out.
She
should be called out. You know what I'm saying? And somebody even posted a video of Oprah back in the day. She was being interviewed, and she said she wanted to be white. I say, whoa, hold up, Oprah, hold up. Now, I don't care. In this world, me personally, how I've been treated, I wouldn't care. I've never in my life thought about wanting to be white. Never in life.
Did she say she wanted to be? Did she say she wanted to be, or did at one point?
Never. It doesn't matter because I've never wanted to be on the side of people who were doing the abusing. Like, no. Like, so it's just kind of weird that she would even say that. But now it kind of makes sense by the moves that she's making. It kind of makes sense for her to even say that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's no way in this world that I would ever utter some things like this. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just think it's interesting because, like I say, black people have always held Oprah down. We've looked out for her. You know, she was a black woman, billionaire, getting to the bag or whatever. And we've always respected that. But the move she's been making lately is really exposing kind of, you know, why they allowed her to be a billionaire. Not saying she didn't work for it or whatever, but they have allowed her to amass that amount of money and put her out in the, you know, put out in the public and made her popular. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there because I find it interesting how they are turning on Oprah, and it is it's real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's real out here in these streets. Yeah, so, I just found that interesting.
I didn't want to say one thing before you move on because I thought you were going to move on. I just wanted to say something, like comment about what you said as far as her saying she wanted to be white. And this is not to take Oprah off the hook for this. I can see some people saying that who don't have a true knowledge of who they are. I mean, I'm talking about black people here who don't understand who they are, a knowledge of our rich history. You know, I can understand someone making that comment until they are taught and to love themselves. You know, a lot of us have been trained to not love ourselves. So I could get why she may have made that comment or someone like that would have made that comment, but that's not to let that off the, you know, let off the hook for that, because at the stage, at the level of the game she in, she should know better. You know, and there's no excuse for that. She should know better. So, I just wanted to say I understand why some of our people would make a comment like that because of the trauma that we've been still going through.
Right.
That they made a comment like that.
Right. I'm glad you understand, and maybe you can break that down to me later because I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Myself.
Well, you know, it's just like you may see, and it just depends on a person's background. But if you have someone that's black who came up in an abusive relationship, abusive household, and say they living around nothing but white people, You see what I'm saying? They may be picked on for their hair or picked on for their skin color. And they come home to maybe the only two
black
entities that they see. You can develop a level of self-hate that will make you say, I wish I wasn't black. I would rather be white. Because then that's their escape mechanism. So that's why I said that. It's not, like I say, but to say again, now, it's not taking Oprah off the hook now. Because I'm
Yes, indeed. That makes sense. Now that you put it like that, I just kind of see.
We got to teach our people our rich history and our rich culture and teach each other to love each other.
Right. Yes, indeed. All right. So without further ado, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. We got a good, actually a great show lined up for y'all today. I know it should be very engaging. We are talking about the Trump impeachment that just happened this week. Donald Trump became only the third president behind Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton to be impeached by the U.S. Congress. You know, they brought down the articles of impeachment. They still say that the leader of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has not delivered the actual articles to the Senate yet because it moves from the Congress to the Senate, so then the Senate can vote. So we're going to talk about what does the impeachment mean for America, for the country. What are your thoughts on the impeachment? What does the impeachment mean specifically for Black America? Will he be removed from office? So we go dive into all that. So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We are talking about what are your thoughts on the Trump impeachment or Trump being impeached, right? So, we always start with the Collective Minds panel first, and then we'll get to the call lines. We always start with our lovely Queen Rigel first. So let us know, Rigel, what do you think or what are your thoughts on Trump being impeached this week?
Well. I'm kind of like Trump. He take it as a joke. And so,
oh, man. Trump been kicking it this week.
He's taking it as a joke, and so am I. You know, it's a charge. So let's see what the sentences are gonna be. You know, we had to learn that the hard way from that Botham Jean case. We got the charge, okay?
Right.
Impeachment. Let's see what the sentence is gonna be like. Is he gonna get out of the house or not? You know, I doubt it, because I'm still thinking that he's gonna get reelected. So I think this is just nothing more than a reality show that they're putting on. You know, production is at its highest right now in America, and I think this is just another production, you know, another way to, you know, stir up things and get, you know, try to get a little people involved and talking and all that stuff about a certain thing, a situation. But Trump said it's a joke. I'm with him. So we do agree on that. You know, so I just take it as another charge. I'm dying to see what the sentence is going to be like I said before. And but to me, it's just another one of those productions that, you know, that we do. It's just another production, another play or movie, however you want to say it. And that's pretty much how I feel about the whole thing. You know, the fact that he is even the president is still, you know, kind of funny to me. But he made it over, and, you know, the rest of it is just continuing the game, you know. I'm not really taking it serious. So. He's probably a great guy, perhaps. I don't know, but I don't consider him equipped to be the president. Not the president of the United States, maybe the president of his own company, his own empire. But, you know, that's just kind of how I see it, a big joke or a production.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, family. If you just join us, we're talking about the Trump impeachment. And I do want to stand corrected real quick before we let our brother Mufasa go. Just came down the pipeline. President Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton were both impeached by the House, but they were later acquitted by the Senate. Now, President Nixon resigned before the full House vote could impeach him. So I stand corrected. I said it was Nixon and Clinton, but it was actually Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton were both impeached by the House, but later were acquitted by the Senate. And Richard Nixon resigned before he could before the House could impeach him. So just wanted to make that correction. You know, we consider ourselves a news. We give out the news, so we want to be accurate as possible. But I digress. My brother Mufasa Ra, I know this Trump your boy. So what you think about this impeachment that's going on?
Well, I'm going to speak for Donna here, and I'm going to say a phrase, because I'm sure if he was on this phone, he would say this himself. He's nuts. So I'm speaking for my boy. Like Roger said, he ain't worried about no impeachment articles of this, articles of that. All they did is like Nancy Pelosi and the Dems. They just wanted to throw that glass of wine in his face on his suit because they mad. You know, they big mad because there's a man in office who speaks his mind, who walks around with his gonads hanging. You know, he says what he wants. He speaks what he wants to say to other leaders of the world. He don't back down, whether it's here in the country or out the country. And that, he just ruffles people's feathers when you're dealing with somebody that openly, freely speaks their mind. It makes people uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those two abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. You know, that sounds like you mad because you can't fully control someone. So you're going to throw it on him saying he abused his power. But really, maybe you trying to abuse your power over the president that was voted in. The man was voted by the people as the president. Let him do his thing. Let him rock. You know, quit hating. That's what they're doing. They're hating. They're hating on the dime. You know, mad, like I say, because he's flamboyant and he speaks his mind. The man did on a wide array of things, you know, for our country. I know, you know, people call him out for, quote unquote, possibly being a racist, being a, you know, a sexist, doing women wrong, you know, all this type of stuff. But when we can break down, and I hope that it, sometime next year, we can go ahead and break down the policies of Trump. Because that's what we should be judging him on. What has he really done for the country? And I think if you put that on the scale of what he's done overall, it's either going to be equal to everybody else, all the other presidents, or it may be a little bit better. I don't think he's done a worse job than any of the other presidents have done. They're all the same. But the difference about this cat, like I say, he truly speaks his mind. And I ain't seen nothing that he's done bad for the country myself. Somebody else, y'all can point that out to me. But this article, I mean, this impeachment stuff, it's just a load of crap. It's just something they want to do because they big mad over how he carry himself. So they was like, you know, we're going to throw this little wine glass on your suit just to try to, you know, do something. I, from what I heard, I don't even need to know if Nancy, as of yet, even formally took it to the Senate yet. You know, I don't know. I don't even know if that's been done yet. She know ain't nothing.
Right,
really
that's
happened.
What I was saying.
It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Yeah, it's just a waste of time. Right. So, yeah, so I'm going to leave it at that, Brother K, let you go in.
Oh, okay, yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, I think as far as the impeachment, I think we all on the same page as far as it just being political theater. You know, they just putting on a show. And besides, you know, the Democrats not liking him, because I don't think the Republican Democrats, I think they all cool. I don't really think it's about liking him so much. I think it's more the Democrats don't really have a viable candidate for president. Right, I don't think they even have anybody that can beat Trump in this 2020 election. So I think this was kind of a distraction, you know, to put that out there. And it's also just, like you say, throw wine on the suit or a blemish on his record. You know what I'm saying? It's just to put a blemish on a record, because the thing is, the vote still has to go through the Senate. And the Senate is majority Republican. And they're not going to vote a Republican president out. They're not going to vote for impeachment, right? So, you know, that's that. So, basically, it's going to stop at the House. Whatever they came down with, which was, again, the abuse of power and the obstruction of Congress, that's going to it's going to stop right there at the Congress. So it's just political theater. And as I was looking at it, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here watching. I think this was last week sometime. I'm sitting here watching it. And if you ever watched the impeachment trial, you know, they have the Republicans say something, then the Democrats say something. They kind of go back and forth. They get like a minute or two apiece to kind of make their case, and they go back and forth. And I'm sitting here watching this thing. I'm like, this is crazy, because if the roles or the sides were reversed, they would just be arguing for that other side, if that makes sense. So basically, if the Democrats mm-hmm. was Republicans and the Republicans were Democrats, they would just be arguing for that side. So that lets me know that this is strictly a bipartisan issue. You know what I'm saying? This is strictly on party lines. This is the Democrats going against the Republicans and the Republicans defending their guy. And that's dang, all it bang. Is. So it's really just, yeah, they just banging. It's really just theater. Okay, right. They just banging with words. You know, they going back and forth. 1 minute say there's nothing there. Then the next person come out, what do you mean there's nothing there? We have this, this, and this. Then the next person come back, you're just making up stuff. And I'm like, just watching this thing like, this is crazy. Like, they're mm-hmm. just going with what the party line is. You know what I'm saying? They're just going with what each party says or what we go stick to. You know, so yeah.
But do you even think those political. Two articles are they that major? Abuse of power and its obstruction of Congress. Maybe one of the calls maybe call in and break that down to me some more. I don't see nothing that was that bad where you got to remove this man from office. Even though it's just a personal vendetta.
Right. Well, I will say this. There's a number of things that that Trump probably could have been removed from, in my opinion. I think the phone call with the president of Ukraine, I think that's legitimate because it was a quid pro quo type of thing where he was withholding funds basically so they could investigate Joe and Hunter Biden based on a call and a transcript that was released. So from my observation, there are things there to impeach Trump. Even before this, I believe that there were things there that they could have impeached Trump. I mean, the sexual allegations, you know how many sexual allegations are against Trump? There's a lot. You know, his tax return things, they could have dug deep into that. He don't want to release his tax returns. There's a lot going on with that. There's a lot going on with his businesses, him still, you know, running his businesses while he's president. You know, there are some things there. There's also people in his camp that are either in jail right now or pending going to jail. You know, you got Paul Manafort, you got Roger Stone, you know, there are some other names that come up, but there are a lot of things there. Like, Trump has really done a lot, So he, in my opinion, he really has abused his power and authority. Now, on the flip side, Trump doesn't care. He just feel like, hey, I'm just going to do whatever. They can't touch me. You know, I'm invincible. I can do whatever, and nobody cares. So there are things there, in my opinion, that could have him removed from office. You know, but
right now here's the
I don't
thing,
think
though,
it's going to stick. Because
I agree with what you said about those things being, you know, work being as an impeachment inquiry. But I don't think none of those things are strong enough to fully remove him from office.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like I said, that would be – they would have to investigate and look deeper into, you know, the things that I just named as far as, you know, tax returns
and
how expenses are being ran, you know. That would be
and then
part
once
of
they did,
part
and
of
once they do that, they're going to find out ain't nothing there. They're going to do all they did, bring up these impeachable offenses, they're going to dig. And they're going to find out it ain't nothing there or it's not worthy to proceed with the process of removing them. So they just brought up these two things here as a last, in my opinion, as a last ditch effort to do something. Like, just like I said, throw something in the man's face. Because they don't like them. They gang banging right. Like you said, they just banging right now. So, oh, Nancy Pelosi, she's so funny to me. She's a character. So it was just a side note. I was thinking about how she talked with her hands. If y'all know, I love when people speak with their hands. So I get a kick out of watching her speak, and she do the dramatic. You know, she be throwing them little hands up. She be throwing up her gang signs. She's religious gangbang. I mean, she gang banging on Trump. She be throwing up a little gang signs. I'm sorry, I'm going up another direction. Go ahead, Brother Kev. I'm going to digress.
Oh, okay. No, you good. So, yeah, basically, you know, it's just political theater at this point. And I think, you know, like I say, the main reason that the Democrats are doing this is because they don't have a candidate to actually beat Trump in 2020. You know, so this is a distraction. This is to put a blemish on his a little asterisk by his presidential mark. But, you know, like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, I think Trump will be reelected. I actually think this impeachment is going to help his base because a lot of people are rallying behind Trump where his, you know, his base is rallying behind him, and they're going to go harder for him. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go harder for him because a lot of people feel like the Democrats just picking on him. They don't like him. And so they go ride for him, and they go galvanize his base. And it's going to backfire on the Democrats. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to rally behind him, and he's going to get reelected. Because Trump is already on Twitter. Like, he uses Twitter, I mean, like a G. You know what I'm saying? Trump uses Twitter. He tweets every day going at the Democrats. Oh, it's a witch hunt. Oh, they hate me. Oh, they're destroying the country. They doing this. Like, he goes in on Twitter, which we know the court of public opinion is the only real court. You dig what I'm saying? The court of public opinion is the only real court. So he's winning that game. And, you know, this is going to backfire on the Democrats. But like I said, I'm sitting back watching it. I got my popcorn. And, yeah, I think it's hilarious. So we will see. This 2020
smart,
is going to be interesting. Yeah. He's doing his
smart
thing.
He knows he should be using social media, and it's working in his favor, dude, everything you just said. So.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed. It's Collected Minds Radio, y'all. We are talking about what are your thoughts on the Trump impeachment. You know, we already come to the conclusion he's probably more than likely not going to get removed from office. So, you know, this is just kind of for show. But it does put an asterisk by his name as far as, you know, being one of three presidents to be impeached. But give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. The number is 929-477-1697. You want to hit the call lines, Roger? See what the family talking about.
Okay. Let's go to area code 319-572. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, peace, caller.
Okay.
Is he on there? Or is he just listening?
They're probably just listening.
They're probably just listening. Okay.
Area code 314. Area code 314-616. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, family. How's everything going?
Peace, peace, caller. What's up?
Good, brother. I like you.
I think once again the panel is all on one accord that this thing is political theater. We as black people, I say all the time that we need to be stepping away from the board, leaving the matrix, and leaving it up to the people that it's important to. I think that the more that we understand the importance of black nationalism and not really be looking for a delegate or a savior or whatever it is to empower us, the better we can just kind of get away from this thing. I always liken us to the Asian community or the Jewish community. I never see either one of those cultures looking at a delegate or who's in office or none of that stuff. And like Cosmic Care said, this thing is beyond political theater. I would go as far as saying between now and maybe August or so, I wouldn't be surprised if he hits a home run with doing something supposedly the same way that Obama got Bin Laden or whatever it is that they say he did during his term, that would kind of reverse the whole theater. So now we have this super
right.
That was brought up on the impeachment charges, but he hit us with a home run because he did something with a country or somebody that we're against. I don't pay attention to it, but you know I'm gonna digress
right.
from the conversation, kind of listen more or less to what Pianki's gonna say because I know he's gonna come up with some facts, some history, and all that kind of stuff. So
yes, indeed.
I'll sit back and look.
Yes, indeed. Right on, Carl. Appreciate it. I can kind of see that too. As far as him doing something on a large scale to kind of galvanize the people. And, you know, a lot of these stories be made up. I don't know if people be knowing, but especially as far as the Obama catching Bin Laden, that was a thing they kind of put out there when, you know, approval ratings get low and they make up these stories to kind of galvanize the people. But in my opinion, you know, that entire story was fake. Bin Laden had been dead. He had been caught. You know, there was really nothing there. A lot of the people that was involved that say they caught him, you know, some things happened to them. It was just a bunch of going on with that story. So I could see something similar to that happening where they could, you know, manufacture a story to kind of get more support behind Trump. But as it stands, from what I see now, Trump base is sticking by him, right? They not really budging. The only thing left for Trump to do, which he's been kind of hitting at, would be to try to galvanize the black vote. Remember, he said some things like black people built this country. You know, he was saying other things to kind of basically spite the Democrats, and because he know a lot of black people are either leaving the Democratic Party and going Republican, or they're just not voting for any party. You know, that's the time that we're in at this point in time. Black people are either fed up with the Democrats because they not, even though black people are their base, they really not catering to black people. They catering to LGBTQ. They catering to immigrants. They catering to handicapped people. They catering to animals. Like, they putting all these people and things in front of black people. So black people at a point now where we trying to raise our political IQ and say, hold up, if you're not going to give something tangible to black people, then we're just not going to vote. So Trump could capitalize on that by doing something specifically for black people, or even possibly just mentioning something that could kind of pull some more black people over to the Republican side. But real quick, like the caller say, as far as black people, we should not be looking, you know, for any type of savior or president to do anything for us that really we can do for ourselves. Now, we should hold them accountable if we're going to vote, you know, but we shouldn't be specifically looking for any politician to give us a better quality of life when we can, you know, we can do those things ourselves. But like I said, if we vote, we should hold these people accountable and should expect something specifically for us as other groups do. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. That's why I can't wait to. And like, I'm looking forward to when we do our chop it up on these policies, because I know I'm going to catch a lot of slack from this from my brothers across the board. But I think Trump has done some things for black people. He's done more things for black people than the past several presidents we've had. So I ain't looking at him as being no savior, nothing like that. But what I'm saying is he has done some things that has benefited black people. So, you know, we're going to have to dive into that in 2020.
Yeah, we have to.
Had this conversation.
Right, definitely on the list. I would definitely want to dive into that, because I know it's been a few things, you know, that people have mentioned, and you know, you just got to look deeper. Some of the things, you know, they say one thing, but when you look into it deep and read the fine print, then you kind of see that ain't nothing really happening there. But again, we'll get into that on a later day. But yeah, that'll be coming in 2020. We gonna break down. It'd be a good time to break down Trump's first term in office. You dig what I'm saying? Because 2020 would be the end of his term. So we could break down his first term and kind of see how he did from a, you know, collective mind standpoint. You dig?
Right.
So, yeah, that would be coming 2020. So if you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the Trump impeachment that happened this week. Trump became the third president behind Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton to actually be impeached. Richard Nixon resigned before he could actually be impeached by the House. And for those that don't know, this actually stemmed mostly from a conversation that President Trump had with the president of Ukraine. And basically, it was a conversation about the military aid. Trump was saying he was withholding military aid, and he wanted the president of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, to investigate some business dealings that Hunter Biden, who's the son of Joe Biden, to investigate. Now, Joe Biden, of course, is a Democrat who is probably going to be the front runner and be Trump's main opponent in the presidential race. So basically, the Democrats are charging Trump with investigating a political rival, basically withholding the money, the military aid from Ukraine, based on them investigating Joe and Hunter Biden. And they're saying that, of course, that's illegal. You cannot use a foreign government to investigate a political rival. So that's kind of where all this stemmed from. But should our president be a gangster, or should he be a president? Like, can you be both?
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right. So that's where that all stems from. So this week they went on ahead and dropped the articles of impeachment. And like you say, Nancy has not formally delivered those to the Senate. So they saying it's to be continued, probably the first quarter 2020 after their little break or whatever. They could go ahead and send that over. Then the Senate is going to have the ball in their court, and they're going to have to vote whether to remove the president, which, again, the Senate is mostly Republican, so those chances are slim to none. You know, that he'll be removed, so, you know, we'll see how that go. So, yeah, you want to get to the call lines, Roger?
Okay. Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Hey, Collective Minds. Well, I really didn't until that last statement that Kev made there, because it really disheartens and saddens me that he put out this false narrative. Donald Trump's phone call did not have anything to do with the quid pro quo. He was thanking the president or telling the president congratulations on his new election, and he asked if he could do us as in not Donald Trump, but us as in our nation of America a favor and look into this Hunter Biden situation and this embezzlement. Not embezzlement, but he said the Hunter Biden situation. He did not say Joe Biden, and if anybody did quid pro quo and admitted it blatantly, it was Joe Biden. He's the one that had a Ukrainian attorney general fired so that he would quit investigating his son. And he bragged about it. He bragged that he was withholding the funds, the money, the military aid. Not Donald Trump. Donald Trump said nothing about military aid on that call. Nothing. And I'm very sad that you put out that misinformation like that. That you were misinforming the people that are listening to us.
No, I'm going by what I know. And he did say something about the military aid. Now, mind you,
the military aid was not brought up on that call at all. Donald Trump and
so
the Ukrainians both stated under oath. Well, not Donald Trump, but the Ukrainian prime minister for us, under oath, said that the Ukrainian president had no idea that money was even being withheld, because it was not being withheld. It just hadn't been released yet, and it wasn't being released due to President Donald Trump's part at all. It just hadn't gone through the proper things yet. Donald Trump did not withhold money or even say that he was withholding money. There was no withholding or saying of withholding of any money on any call that Donald Trump made to the Ukrainian president. That is stuff that Adam Schiff made up. And it's been proven that he made it up. And that's why Nancy Pelosi has not moved forward on this impeachment, because it's an embarrassment. And she knows it.
That was interesting. That's interesting. Hold on, Carla. Because Kim was getting ready to say something. Let's give him opportunity to speak what he was going to speak to.
No, I was just going to say that the money was being withheld because, according to reports, Ukraine got military aid the first few years of Trump's presidency. So all of a sudden, the money was withheld, which the Democrats are charging. The money was withheld strictly for them The money was withheld on the condition that Ukraine would investigate Hunter Biden as far as corruption. So
that's the word, corruption.
And that
happened back in March. That investigation started in March, long before Joe Biden even became a presidential candidate. They were just fishing for anything so they could throw it at Donald Trump. They're just
July
throwing.
The call was on July 25th.
They're just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, to try to make anything that they can make happen, even though there's nothing there to make happen. And like you said earlier, most of this is just to get them to try to make Donald Trump look bad and try to find some way, because they have no good candidates. I agree with all of that. But when you say that he did these things on this call, that is false. That is a false narrative that the Democrats are pushing, that Adam Schiff created and narrated in an effort to defame the president, to cause this divide, to cause this disruption, and to keep us all confused as to what we should really be paying attention to in this country.
Interesting.
Okay, yes, indeed.
All right. But that's,
yeah,
that's
yes,
all
indeed.
I have to
yeah.
my comments.
All right.
Right on.
Thanks for having
me
on.
Gave
we got
something
you. We got
to think about. I'm going to do some research in today.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely look into it. And I would encourage anyone to read the transcript. It's online. Now, from my understanding, it's not a transcript that is verbatim. This is what the White House released as far as the call that the president or that Trump had with the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky. So, yeah, I would encourage anybody to go look at that conversation for yourself, and then you can determine, you know, what was said and what they're inferring or what they're trying to claim that happened, what the Democrats are claiming that happened, and also what the Republicans are saying didn't happen. Donald Trump called it a perfect call, which was hilarious, but, you know, he called it a perfect call. So another thing that was interesting, too, which I wish the caller was still on, President Trump mentioned Rudy Giuliani as well in that call, who doesn't work for the United States but is Trump's personal attorney. And he was telling the president of Ukraine that, you know, he'll have Rudy Giuliani get with him or go over some things with him or whatever. So so that's another thing that was kind of in there that would, you know, would raise some flags, that he's involving his personal attorney into political and national affairs. So but yeah.
Interesting.
Right on, call for the call. Appreciate it.
Got the brain cells twerking tonight. Brain cells
twerking. They twerking as they should always be. Don't stop. So, yeah, if you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the Trump impeachment. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yeah, I wanted to ask y'all this. So, us on the line, do y'all think that Trump going to be removed from office? It's a two-part question. Do y'all think Trump going to be removed from office? And do y'all think he will be reelected in 2020?
I don't think he's going to be removed, and I think he will be reelected.
Oh, damn. There you go.
I second that emotion.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
I second that. He ain't going nowhere.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I'm in
well.
Total agreement.
Okay,
because I'll say this real quick before you go to the call lines, but I mean, even if, you know, they can make this somewhat sticky, he's not removed. But I'm still looking at the Democrats, who they got that's even close to even competing with him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Even with the impeachment stain on his suit, on the other side, who you gonna vote for? Because I definitely don't think he's gonna get removed over this. So all this did was put a stain on the suit. So okay, you got your little stain there. He's still running with his stain on there. But who coming from the Democratic Party is up to par? Who do they have?
Right.
I heard the last Democratic debate was a joke.
They've all been.
I didn't watch it, but the last one. But I heard it was horrible. So
they
hurting right now. They grabbing.
Yeah, they scrambling. The Democrats are scrambling. This is like I say, there are things there. So two things can be true, right? There are things there, in my opinion, that warrant this impeachment for Trump. But then also the Democrats are scrambling, and this is kind of like a last-ditch effort for them to kind of redeem themselves. You know, they're losing. Again, they're losing their base. They haven't really connected with their base. They're trying to get the LGBT crowd. They're trying to get the immigrant crowd. But little do they know, a lot of immigrants vote Republican when they get over here. So, you know, the Democrats are scrambling. And this is a perfect distraction, even though, again, there are some things there, in my opinion, that will warrant an impeachment. But they are still scrambling, and they cannot do nothing if they don't have control of the Senate. You dig what I'm saying? So they pretty much is – they about to be a party that's going to crash and burn. And, you know, it's gonna be kind of fun to watch, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? To watch them crash and burn, because, you know, I think we need a shakeup in the political system anyway in America. You know what I'm saying? We need a shakeup and some other things to happen. So, you know, we'll see how it play out, though. Indeed, we'll see how that plays out.
Check with the call lines again.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. Let's hit the call lines. See what's crazy.
Okay, area code 314-381. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, what's this? What's in these articles, Kevin? Two articles. What they
article?
Mm-hmm.
Abuse of power.
All right. What's the other one?
The other one is obstruction of Congress.
Abuse of power, obstruction of Congress. So where do Ukraine come in at? Abuse of power?
Yeah, that would be on abuse of power. So
all right. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that happened in July of 2019.
Correct. The phone call did, yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, what the heck were they talking about impeaching him on before the 2016 election? And also, day after the inauguration, they began wanting to impeach him. In November of 2018,
right,
you had a woman, female congressperson elected in Detroit, who took John Conyers' regime. And when she was elected, she said, "We're going to impeach this MF right now, don't you know?" What was she talking about? Did she have Miss Cleo powers where she could look in the crystal ball and see July call with the Ukraine?
I don't know, but now remember, I mentioned a few things earlier that I thought, even before this Ukraine call, that Trump probably could have been brought up on as far as impeachment or even
Like Russia? Like the Mueller report,
Russia,
huh?
Russia collusion.
Well, the Mueller report said there was nothing like that in there. And if it was, then they should have used that. Hello. They should have used that.
So
you're on trial now. Remember, you put your hand on that Bible.
Right. So in
other words, what we're trying to prove is that this is a bunch of bull crap. That's all it is. This man in obstruction of Congress.
Yeah.
Well, is he not the executive? When he vetoes legislation,
mm-hmm,
is that not obstruction of Congress?
Mm-hmm. He's doing his job.
He's doing his job. And when he talks to the president of Ukraine and asks him to do us, albeit United States taxpayers, because you're getting ready to get this money, look into corruption like you were supposed to have been doing, like they said that they was going to do. And he gave an example of the company that Joe Biden's son was on. Like the man said, he never mentioned Joe Biden's name. This is a bunch of bull crap. And I'm going to tell you something. If a Democratic president get elected in 2020, when he's sworn in January 2021, the very next day we're going to start getting ready to impeach his butt, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably so. Probably so. But look, check this out. Now, look, real quick, let me just respond real quick. With the now, with the Mueller investigation, this is what I'm talking about, because there are a lot of people around Trump that have been found guilty already on behalf of Trump. So you're finding all of his cohorts guilty, but he's not guilty. Let me just give you a list of names. Michael Cohen, who's is Trump's former lawyer. You got Paul Manafort, who was a campaign chairman for Trump. He's been found guilty. You got George Papadopoulos. He was also a Trump campaign advisor. Richard Panetta, Alex Van Der Zwan. Okay, you got Roger Stone.
What does
Stone,
that got to do with impeachment? You know that the Constitution lay out grounds for impeachment, and none of that is in there. Who your associates
right, but
are.
This is all, no, but this is all in association with the Mueller investigation. That Mueller
and the Mueller investigation
so
said Trump did not do anything wrong. Kevin, don't be trying to slam. But here's another question I'm going to ask you.
So why are these people that are a part of his campaign been found guilty, but the person who's the head of the campaign is not? You see,
well,
but there's certain rules to.
Well,
to,
why come the FBI? Why come the FBI didn't find all this out when they was getting their clearances?
I mean, this Mueller did find some of this stuff out. Like, this is part of the investigation.
No, he found it out after they was paying him $40 or $50 million. Why come before these people was coming on board, getting in positions where they could be exposed to very sensitive and national security information? Why come the FBI didn't point that out at that time? And here's another thing. Have you ever heard of Axelrod? You remember he was Obama's chief counsel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So why come he was not brought to task for his association with Nigeria and leading things that was brought up when Nigeria was asking, trying to get weapons and intelligence from the United States, Obama administration, in order to fight Boko Haram. Obama put a quid pro quo on that. He said, and it had to do with homosexuality in that country. You got to open up your country to homosexuality and also abortion on demand. Hillary Clinton done it to Zambia. They done it to Liberia. Try to do it to Kenya. Nigeria went to Moscow and got what they needed.
Right. Now,
Nigeria, wait a minute, hang on.
Go ahead.
Nigeria went to Moscow and got what they needed in aircraft and other defense items. That right there took that money out of the laps of American workers who's working for the companies that would have provided those necessary things to Nigeria so they could fight terrorists that was killing their people.
Right. Now, the difference in what you just said and between what Trump has done, it was not used by Obama to investigate a political rival. They were not bringing in a foreign country to interfere in American elections. That's the difference. That happens in politics all the time.
Where did Trump use that to investigate a political riot? You read the letter, it says who? Us. Trump is singular.
Well,
it didn't say me.
Right. In regards to Russia, they're claiming that it was to undermine Hillary. Now, with this particular case, it was to investigate Hunter Biden who is the son of political rival Joe Biden.
Well,
so
here's another thing. Trump just last week made an announcement. He's going to open up the mining industry from its constraints that it has had through the years, especially under Obama. In one area he made mention of, the exploration of uranium. Now, this is my question. How is it that Hillary Clinton was doing business dealing with Russian uranium companies to come to the United States and extract uranium, whereas United States companies cannot even get going in the business? They can't get back in it at that time. So what was she offering them? Oh, nobody want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm not.
And that's another thing with Black Americans. This man has opened up yet another industry that you can get involved, that those that's got the capabilities can get involved in. This is the best president I have ever seen when it comes down to the nitty gritty. And that is putting money in your pocket. When he dropped the tax rate from 39.6% down to 21%, what is that, 18% percentage points? That's putting money in people's pocket. I know it did mine on income, actually non-income gains too. Then he turned around and he increased the standard deduction for people who file merit jointly, added them another $12,000. You don't hear Democratic contenders say they're going to do away with Trump's tax reform. My goodness, that should be enough to scare you right there. You don't hear them say that they're going to do away with these ambitions on providing school choice with vouchers. I heard people complain about how these black women went to jail in Ohio, and I think the other one was in New Jersey, for sending their kids to a safe school in the district that was adjacent to them, and they lied and said that they lived in the district. Well, if they had vouchers, they could have paid. Why is it that the NAACP, that decrepit bunch of minds, is against vouchers?
Oh, my.
In alternative education sector. You have to ask yourself these questions. And why do so many people hate this man?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
When you look at things like the State Department and the intelligence, Foreign Intelligence Committee, where you have individuals on there, they're the one that's making this policy. They're the one who said to Uganda that you're going to go under sanctions because of your human rights policies. What human rights policies? They don't want same-sex marriage in their country. That's their country.
Right.
And they don't want those other activities. So you going to withhold the carrot until they fall in place? Isn't that what Hillary Clinton was talking about when she was talking about the usage of soft power? We ain't got to bomb you to death. We just won't give you no aid because you're not doing what we want to do.
What's the real issue? And
hang on for a second. I'm going to show you how these people – wait, this is – I'm going to show you how these people in these intelligence communities make money. The state of Georgia, known for its lumber, its timber, its tall yellow pine, softwood. You had lumber companies in Georgia had to go out of business because Canada was shipping lumber, plywood here in the United States at prices that – they couldn't compete with because they were being subsidized by the Canadian government. One of the first things Trump done when he got it, he put a tariff on that stuff. Whereas it costs so much now, it allows the U.S. manufacturing in Georgia to come back. But guess what? Whoa, wait a minute. Susan Rice, we heard that name before, ain't we?
Right.
She works in that capacity. Wasn't she not an intelligence advisor to Barack Obama? Guess what? Yeah. Her husband, a white male, name is Ion Cameron. I think he's an executive with CNN. And his father owns a Canadian lumber company.
Okay.
So when Trump put tariffs on Canadian lumber coming in the United States, that's hurting him, taking money out of his pocket. Probably taking money out of Susan's pocket, too, for the years that she's been involved in government, making that at around, what, $100,000 a year, under $200,000. How did she get to be worth about $50
million?
Mm. The man is kicking butt, and they don't like it.
Ooh, kicking.
I heard that.
And if we had that same type of, we had that same type of attitude, a politician, and backing by people, if you had that in St. Louis, it wouldn't be as decrepit as it is today. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, right. Brother, why are you getting
right?
Brother, why are you doing that?
And we know that. I'm going to tell you something about Cardinal Ritter. It's a shame.
Yeah.
My wife's nephew is Trey Burton, a Luther Burton Jr., basketball player, football player there at Cardinal Ritter. I think he's a sophomore. He's already got people looking at him. I was told that on Cardinal Ritter football team, of all the seniors, only two of them scored over 16 on the ACT. Cardinal Ritter is supposed to be a flagship elite school. Absolutely. That's what it's supposed to be. You have to ask yourself, what the hell are them Negroes doing over there? And why are their parents letting that happen? That is totally the, when you have a student, a ninth grader, a female, come to the counselor crying, saying, I am not receiving what I should receive. She knows that. She recognized that. A ninth grader. And you're not saying a damn thing about that. Paying no attention. And that ain't the only case. Anyway, that's all I
got
to say.
We've got to quit being so lazy. We've got to stop being so lazy.
I might come back in, leave my mic open, I'll mute myself.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, that was our alumni, Mr. Pianchi, always chiming in, always good to hear from him. We are talking about the Trump impeachment that came down this week. You know, like I say, it stems from the Ukraine call. A lot of people, well, the previous caller before Pianchi was asking why I was putting that narrative out there. Well, that's the narrative that the Democrats are going with, right? They're going with on the call to the Ukraine president, there was an abuse of power. There was a they claimed that Trump withheld funds, basically so Ukraine president could investigate Hunter Biden, who is Joe Biden's son, a political rival. So they're charging him with, you know, basically colluding with or having a foreign government investigate a political rival or his son or whatever, their business dealings that they had. So that's where the whole impeachment thing stems from, and it went through the Senate today. But like, we are all in agreement on the line that it's just political theater. You know, it's just a show. It's Hollywood. It's smoke and mirrors. You know, like I say, I don't believe people hate Trump the way they say they do, especially the people in government, as far as the Nancy Pelosi's, the Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, all these people. You know, I just think they're playing a game. I actually think behind closed door they're actually cool with Trump. That's just my opinion. I just think they just have to play this game. And then another thing, in terms of playing the game, they want to win the election next year, but they don't have a candidate to win the election. So this impeachment deal is just part of a distraction to kind of, you know, to kind of garner support and try to galvanize some folks to go with the Democrats. But I think it's kind of backfiring on them, in my opinion. You know, I don't think they're getting the support that they thought they would. So it's kind of backfiring on them. So, you know, that's where we at. Y'all got any comments? Y'all want to respond to anything real quick?
Well, I was just going to say, so do you guys feel like, well, at least for the ones who believe that, you know, Trump is a great president, do you think that these accusations, all of them are just totally false? Do you think there's no truth to it? Or these are just big flat out lies, or they exaggerated? Like, why do you think we're at a point of impeachment? You think they just hate them that much that they just make enough stories on them, or like kind of like what's the situation?
Well, it's like we said earlier, they like in Brother K just said, they trying to do something in order to make help the Democratic Party in winning the election. So me myself, I look at these charges that they brought up as, it may be a little tiny bit of truth to them, but really, it's not worth it. The little bit that might be with it, that might be the little bit of truth that's maybe in there, is not enough to be going through all this. That's how I look at it. You know, it's just the Democratic Party trying to do what they can to like I say, stain Trump's presidency, and to try to benefit off of it. That party to benefit off of with this upcoming election. Because like Brother K said, I mean, they don't have a strong candidate. Because, I was going to ask y'all, like, who are you going to vote for? Who in the Democratic Party are you looking at? Man, that would be a better candidate for the country. Is there anybody that, you know, that y'all like?
Unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it, but I almost wish Kanye was running. I'd just vote for him. I mess around, just put my name on the end of the ballot. So I don't really think that there is anybody else strong, unfortunately. And I think that's why, another reason why it's like, you already know he's going to go in a second term. But even before he even won the first election, I said, once it got close and it appeared that, okay, this is a little more serious. Because before, when he started to run, I'm like, no way, this is just a circus act. There's no way. But as we got closer and closer to election, I thought, okay, wait a minute, this may be a little bit more serious than what I thought. And I'm like, if he gets in, he's definitely going to get in the second term. And so even now that we are at this point now, and you're right, it's no strong candidates, it's like, It's a done deal. And I do agree
Can I ask you a question?
Oh. Uh-huh.
What do you want from a Democratic cabinet? And I'm not attacking you. This thing about what they want to do is not what you want them to do. The difference between them and Donald Trump went to town hall meetings. He talked with business people in the oil industry, in the steel industry, in lumber. They told him what they needed, and he's working on that. That's the difference. You know, when we sat down with Bosley and Verbiage, we told him what we needed to have, the contractors did. When he was elected, he done it. The school board, St. Louis Public School Board, we told them what we needed to have, where it'd be more fair for black and minority contractors, quote unquote. They done it. They raised the requirement up to 35%, and they told contractors, if you don't have that percentage in your bid, we're going to open the bid up to the public so your competitors can see what your numbers were. So what do you want your Democratic candidates to do? That's what the question is. It's not who's the best, or that it ain't nobody that can. Well, what do you want them to do?
Right, it's the person that, like you said, that delivers. I understand what you're saying. If they're asking him if he can make certain things happen for him and he deliver, then of course he's going to have a leg up over everybody.
And
so
I'm gonna tell you right now. Democrats are not going to push school choice. You know why? Because their core base, the National Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, teachers' unions, they don't want that. They don't want black parents to take their kids out of them schools. Why is that? Because then the building won't get money because there ain't no kids sitting in the seat. Parents say, to hell with this. I'm taking my kids someplace else because it's failing. It's just the parents of that little girl that came into the counselor's office crying. Her parents is already scrapping up enough money to send her to Cardinal Ritter. If she had vouchers, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, and she could take her child someplace else, maybe all the way out to CBC, maybe over to John Burroughs, maybe to Trinity out there on Bell Fountain Road. So yeah, Democrats are not going to buck that system in those two areas.
Or you can send them to the Muslim Islamic Academy on Garrison.
You're absolutely right. One reason why Brother Ibrahim's school ain't running right, because they ain't got the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only case. It's many. Your kids in a headlock, and they're not going to let them go because they make money off the kids. They don't give a damn if them kids pass or fail.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sad.
Let's try to get a school that we can use, we won't even benefit.
Yeah, let's try to get one more caller before
we
wrap up.
Call.
You know?
Okay. Before we wrap up, 314-830, caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment.
Okay,
yes,
thanks, caller.
Call
on in.
Yes, hi.
Well, hello.
Man.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment. We can hear you.
Okay. I don't understand why this black man is on here talking about the black people should be for Trump. What is wrong with him? If all the black people go out and vote, Trump will not get reelected. Why would he want this man reelected when he's in the government padding his own pocket? Everything he does is for Trump. Nothing is for the people. Everything is for Trump. So I don't understand this man that's doing all this, you know, trying to go for Trump. What has Trump done for him? He's saying Trump put money in his pocket. Look how much he's taken from you. You can't deduct anything in taxes. You can't deduct houses. You can't deduct personal property tax. You can't deduct anything. And then he's saying that Trump's in the coal industry. Who wants black lungs? Right? Yeah, open up the coal industry. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So I don't understand why black people are for Trump at all. How could you be?
Well let's give him an opportunity to respond. Ain't no need.
Okay.
Right, thank you, y'all.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Thanks so much. We definitely appreciate that.
Yeah,
we'll
don't let her go.
Right, yeah, just 314-385, caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have one quick question or comment? Area code 314-385, caller, you on with Collective Minds. Okay, that's going. They probably just listening. Thanks for listening, caller. Okay, so
yes, indeed. Is Bianchi there? Did you want to respond real quick in a couple minutes? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, it's because all black people are not the same, and blacks have interests. Their interests come before any other political consideration. If you got a candidate that's proposing things against their interests, they should not support them. If you got a business that's supporting candidates that goes against your interests, you should not be supporting them. Did not the gays and lesbians go against Chick-fil-A because they give money to the Salvation Army? But in the hood, whenever you have a burnout, a fire, and people are on the street, what is one of the first organizations that's there on the scene to provide food, shelter, and support? The Salvation Army. should have been complaining about that. I being married, filing jointly, my standard deduction has went to $24,000 from $12,000. That's $12,000 extra dollars in people, United States citizens, taxpayers who filed in that manner. Tax reform.
All right, all right.
Taxes have been tax rate have went from 39.6% down to 21%. That's putting money in people's pockets. All right.
We're going to leave it right there for now. Thank you, Bianchi. Thank you, Carla. Now, we are going to have that show in 2020 where we do a recap of Trump's first term, his first 4 years in office. So that'll be a good conversation. We can continue. You know, hopefully the caller call back and we can, you know, we can have that conversation and dig a little deeper into exactly what Trump has done in his first 4 years in office. So, we're going to have that conversation later, looking forward to that. So, yeah, we down to the last 10 minutes. We've been talking about the Trump impeachment. Now, I did want to go over this because the one caller just real quick accused me of, you know, saying that Trump mentioned defense in that call. So I pulled up the transcript, and it's according to Fox News. You can find the transcript online anywhere. Just type in Trump-Ukraine call transcript. Now, Trump did not specifically mention defense, but the president of Ukraine did. And I quote, it says, "I would also like to thank you for your great support in the area of defense. We are ready to continue to cooperate for the next steps. Specifically, we are almost ready to buy more javelins from the United States for defense purposes." Trump goes on to say, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it." That right there. He's saying, "I would like you to do a favor for us, though." So basically what the Democrats are saying, again, this is what the Democrats are saying, and I can kind of see where they would get this, they would draw this conclusion. They're saying that based on the Ukraine president mentioning defense and Trump saying, "Hold up, I would like you to do us a favor first before we get to the defense talk," even though it's not specifically like that verbatim. That is what they're charging as far as him abusing power. Basically, if you gave funds to them your first 2 years in office, but now you want to withhold funds based on them investigating your political rival's son. So that's what the Democrats are saying. So this is not Cosmic Kev's narrative. I'm just giving you what the Democrats are saying. So I wanted to clear that up. You know, for that one caller, defense was mentioned in this call, and it was implied that, you know, can you do us a favor before we get to talking about that? You know, can you do us a favor before we get to talking about the defense? So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. You know, I digress. We down to the last 7 minutes. I think it's been a very informative call. I'm looking forward to that conversation in the future. Where we break down Trump's first 4 years to see exactly what he has done. You know, I do appreciate the caller. Now, Trump is out for self. We do have to be honest about that. In my opinion, I think he's padding his pockets. He's looking out for his businesses and his families and Trump. You know, he's looking out for Trump, you know. So, but we'll get to that later. This was a great show about the impeachment. And I'm going to let y'all have the last word, but I just want to thank, you know, the callers and supporters. We appreciate y'all and look forward to the last show of 2019 as we head into 2020. You dig?
So, yeah, hey, I would expect him to look out for himself. And if he can do some things for other people, do that. But unlike Obama, if you in there, you're supposed to do something for yourself and your constituents. Now, I don't see nothing wrong with it. So, I don't see what the big deal is that the man doing what he's supposed to do. And if you can help other people out in the process, make it happen. So, I'll leave it at that. See you at the re-election of Trump 2020.
Okay, let me do something real fast. 314-397. Caller, would you like to say something to Collective Minds Radio real fast, or are you just a listener? 314-397. Okay. She's just listening.
Oh,
okay. You just listening?
Yeah.
You have a comment? Okay.
That's ridiculous.
But go ahead. Whoa. We need something.
He sounded, whoever he was, I didn't hear it. Just, I was told someone had called in about he fed in his pockets or did something for him. I mean, I don't know who he is and what he did, you know, but it all sounds crazy because I didn't hear it, so I can't really comment. I just know somebody had called in about them getting.
Yeah, they were saying Trump. Yeah, they were saying
Trump
did that. Fat in his pocket.
I don't know the young man, but I feel sorry for him.
Okay.
Whoever he is, because he really don't. Whoever he is, he getting all his information wrong. That's all I have to say because I didn't hear everything he said.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Carla, for that.
All right.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Looking forward to continue this next conversation. This should be real good.
Oh, yeah.
But again, everybody, we definitely like to thank all our callers. All our listeners, all our supporters, if we didn't get a chance to get to you this week, we apologize. Please continue to tune in with us each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like always, if you have any other show topic ideas for us, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. And, again, just saying thanks. And talk to you next week. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we walk in. Collective Minds.